I want to thank the Reverend Millen very much for leading the meeting for us tonight, and thank you all for coming and supporting us and being in God's house this evening. You know, it's quite unusual whenever you look back on your life at the twists and turns that it has taken. Sometimes looking forward and you're in situations that don't make much sense. It's just in many ways like the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Two Hebrew lecturers are here, and the only way it makes sense is whenever you look at it backwards, and then you can read it and understand it. And whenever I look back at my relatively short life of just 30 years on God's earth, I can look back at many things that I didn't understand, many doors that God closed before me, and other doors that God graciously opened. And looking back, there were things that I couldn't understand. But I believe tonight that God has a plan and a purpose for everything that goes on under heaven. And I'm glad tonight that I can say that while I'm far from perfect, while I'm not what I would like to be, while I'm not even what I could be or should be, I'm glad tonight that as far as I can discern, that I am in the center of God's will for my life. I was brought up in a good home just down there in Lisburn. Born, as I have said, 30 years ago to good parents who sent me along to church and to Sunday school and to the Boys Brigade and to the Christian Endeavour and to 5-day clubs and children's meetings in our church. I heard the gospel. And whenever I was a young boy, I believed that God got a hook in me. And over a process of time, God began to draw me to himself. My mother tonight will verify that as a young boy, I used to lie in bed at nights and worry about the most silly and superficial of things. I used to worry a lot about the future. I used to wonder where I would be whenever I grew up into adulthood. I used to be concerned about death and about eternity and if God should take my soul, where I would be. I always knew that Jesus Christ had died upon the cross. Ever from I can remember, I knew that there was a God in heaven, and there was a heaven, and there was also a hell. Whenever I was 13 years of age, I had the privilege of going to a youth weekend connected with the church that I was brought up in. The very first night of that weekend, the speaker who was organized and had been invited to come was a man from East Belfast who had been saved in prison. His lifestyle had been a lot different than mine. I'd never been in prison. I'd never been an alcoholic. I'd never slept around, I'd never covered my body in tattoos like this man had done, but this man had been saved by God's grace. And I can remember the very first night of that youth weekend. It was over in Enniskillen, and there was a wooden hall where the meetings were being held, and I can still remember the dark night that it was, and there was a spotlight in the roof of that hall, and I was about to go in, and I met this man coming out, didn't know him, and he asked me my name, and he took a tremendous interest in me, and I told him my name, and he said, I'm pleased to meet you, and he put out his hand, and as he took my hand in his, he asked me a question that I believe was to change the very course that my life was going. And it was a very simple question, but a question that I had never been asked before. And that man quite simply that night asked me, are you a Christian? And I knew what he meant. He wasn't asking me if I was a member of a church. He wasn't asking me if I had been baptized. He wasn't asking me, was I good living? Were my parents Christians? He was asking me that all-important question, have you ever been born again? Have you ever been saved? Have you ever been converted? I can still recall looking that man in the eye and saying, yes, I'm a Christian. And he smiled and he said, "That's wonderful." And he walked away, and here's me left now just on my own outside this wooden hall. Spotlight still on me. Alone. And I can remember looking up into the heavens, and it was a clear night and the heavens were filled with stars, and all of a sudden I realized that I had no assurance whatsoever of sins forgiven, of peace with God, and of a place in heaven itself. Over the course of that weekend, other young people were able to get up and talk of what the Lord had done for them, and this man gave his testimony so clear of a change that had been wrought in his life. I was always a little bit taller than I should have been from my age, and I had a big nose as a young person. The rest of my body's eventually caught up with it, or is making a good effort to do that. And I could remember standing in these meetings as a tall young person, wanting to be seen as being a bit of a lad, but they sang this chorus, and the words of it went something like this: "I was once in darkness, but now my eyes can see. Oh, I was lost, but Jesus sought and found me. Oh, what love he offers. Oh, what peace he gives. I will sing forevermore. He lives." And I can remember standing at the front of those meetings with a lump in my throat, trying to hold back the tears because God was dealing with my young life. And if I wasn't saved before that weekend, I believe that it was at that weekend in 1992, in a place called the Willow Pattern Pantry outside Enniskillen, that the Lord met with me. And I came to an assurance that Christ had died on the cross for my sins. And I purposed in my heart that weekend to seek to read God's word and to live for God. I made a lot of mistakes as a young Christian. I didn't take the stand that I should have at school. There's many things that I did that I would love to be able to turn back the clock and change, but I can't. But I'm glad tonight to say that God is so gracious, and he's so merciful, and he's so kind, and the Lord is good. And God has been merciful to this young life of mine. I reached a point in my life in 1999 where I felt the Lord was calling me to surrender my life into his hands completely. I didn't know what God had for me. Sometimes it scared me, but one thing I knew as a young man, I wanted God's best for my life. And the Lord is no disappointment, and truly he gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. Round about that time in my life, God showed me a promise in the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verse 11. The word of God declares that the Lord shall guide thee continually, satisfy thy soul in drought, make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be as a watered garden, like a spring of waters whose waters fail not. And I can honestly say tonight that the Lord has guided me very clearly in so many avenues and areas of my life, jobs that I have taken, the church that I joined around about that time in Lisburn, the girl that I married, and now this call that has been issued from the people on Coleraine. The Lord has led and guided me. Sometimes people ask you whenever you're getting involved in the work of God, they'll say, "Well, what's your vision? And what's your burden? And really, what's your desire? And what is your vision for?" Well, I can just answer that very simply tonight by saying that my vision is for God and for God alone. My vision is that God will come and do that which he is pleased to do with my life and with the life of every individual connected with the fellowship here in Coleraine. My vision is that God will make Coleraine his shop window to this province of ours, and that God will move and that God will send the awakening that we so desperately need. My vision is tonight that if you've never tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and if you've never been washed in that ruby blood that was shed so freely for your sins, my burden and my desire is that you will come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I've got a lot of people to thank tonight, and I just want to thank especially the men that have taken part in this meeting tonight, all these men that have stood behind me tonight in this pulpit. I want to thank them all collectively and individually as well. I want to thank the people of Coleraine. I want to thank the people that prayed for me. And I trust and ask that you'll continue to pray. I want to thank the session of this church for putting their confidence in me. And I trust and pray that we will labour together in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace. I want to thank the Reverend Millen, who I count as a man of God. Mr. Millen never put me under any pressure to accept the call that was issued. All he did was ask me to pray, and whenever he did that, I discerned that he was a man that was in touch with the Lord and wanted God's will to be done. I want to thank the people of Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church too. There are many friends and relatives here tonight and friends from that congregation. I want to thank you for your encouragement over the last almost 10 years. I want to thank you for your prayers and for your support. I want to thank the Reverend Douglas, the Reverend Martin, and all the other elders in that church. I want to thank as well the people from Sandown Road for the opportunity of learning with them and seeking to be with them and serve the Lord in some very small and perhaps insignificant way. I want to thank as well the Reverend David McElveen. He's been an encouragement. He's given me much advice. I know that he's a man of prayer, and I thank God for being able to sit at his feet and learn. Thank the Reverend McRae and the people from Macrofelt. I want to thank the Whitfield College of the Bible, the staff, and all the lecturers for their labour of love. I want to thank my fellow students. Some of them are here tonight. Others are in the midst of exams. I felt so liberated whenever I did my last exam, and the Lord set us free and got us through all that. But I want to thank the students, and I trust that you'll continue to pray for us and the friendship will continue. I want to thank my own family. I want to thank my parents. I want to thank Elaine's parents. Elaine's two brothers that are here tonight. I have so much to be thankful for. But most of all, I want to thank the God of heaven. I thank him tonight for his love. I thank him tonight for making a difference in this life that could have so easily been ruined. I want to thank him for his grace and his mercy and his guidance. But most of all, I want to thank him for his blessed Son, the one who is altogether lovely, the one who is a pearl of great price. Publicly, I want to thank God tonight that in the fullness of time he sent forth his own Son, born of a virgin to redeem them that were under the law. I want to thank God tonight that in due time, while we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. I trust tonight that you'll come to the realization that he died for you, and you'll trust him and enter into a life of usefulness for God. Please pray for us. Pray for myself and my wife, Elaine, and little Sarah, who's been good tonight. If she's still here, maybe she's gone, I don't know. But I want to ask you to pray that the Lord will continue to lead and bless the folk here in Coleraine, and that the Lord will give us that spirit of unity. And then God will be able to honour his own name and command the blessing that this land of ours so greatly needs. God bless you, and thank you so much.